Obamacare is not, as one judge said, a national solution to a problem. It's 2,000 pages again of special interest written law.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with James V. DeLong. He's a longtime Washington hand, a lawyer, and a longtime Reason contributing editor. Jim is the author of Ending Big Sis, The Special Interest State and Renewing the American Republic. Jim, thanks for talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You say that the special interest state, which is what we have now or what we're living under the grip of, you say its essence is that various interest groups seize control over power centers in government and use them to advance their own ends. Talk a little bit about the special interest state, Big Sis, and where did it come from?
We often talked about having a welfare state as if we'd all gotten together and decided that some people were worthy or some causes were worthy of subsidy. And there's some of that in there. But mostly what has happened is as government has grown, it's gotten into this cycle where the power becomes increasingly fragmented into congressional committees, you know, regulatory agencies, prosecutors' offices, all sorts of things. And people who can capture any of those sort of positions can then use it for their own purposes.
So instead of, it's not like we as a society, you know, we go to the polls, we elect our legislatures, and then they go and they say, okay, you know what, these people need help, we're going to give them this money or that. It's rather that there's all these different pockets of power that
yes.
can give money or regulatory control. Where did the special interest state come from? I mean, you talk about how the intellectual muscle kind of comes from the progressive movement, but then it shifted into something else.
It's a long history. Through the 19th century, the idea that laws should be for the general welfare and not for specific class interests was part of the political culture and very much part of the legal culture. You know, I say in the book, one of the biggest issues was the railroads. In that what railroads want to do is reduce the farmers to peasants, and what the farmers want to do is sort of make the railroads into a public utility and the farmers get all the money. And so there was no easy way to work out relations like that, and they were groping for it. And so they kept inventing new forms.
And then those kind of mutate into special interests.
Very much. Those mutated into special interests. And various interests would capture the agencies. They got practice. And then, you know, you got this steady increase in this through the New Deal. The New Deal was mostly special interest capture of chunks of the federal
government.
Although
it's always talked about as, oh, you know, we were saving the poor, the hungry, the naked. But in fact, it was more, I mean, most of the signature legislation was things designed to keep prices up.
Yes.
Rather
mm-hmm.
than down, so then
yes.
you create cartels. In the book, you talk about this the special interest state as a crisis of legitimacy.
The book does get into these themes sometimes, perhaps in more detail than people would like. Political legitimacy is one of the most important concepts in politics. I don't think many people really regard Dodd-Frank as a legitimate law. It's 2,200 pages, all written by various special interest representatives who then delegate everything to the Fed, where they will then fight it out again. Obamacare is not, as one judge said, a national solution to a problem. It's 2,000 pages again of special interest written law. You know, like the pharma carve-out that's been in the news recently.
So that's pharmaceutical companies are actually
yes.
going to do quite well by this, which
yes.
helps explain
mm-hmm.
their belated support of the bill. What are the solutions to the special interest state? Because in the book, you talk about possibly the rise of a third party that would, of an alternative to the Democrats and Republicans who would say, going back to a national interest legislature is the solution.
Well, maybe. I think limiting government power is really the key in that, you know, we tried this idea that if we expand government power, we will be ruled by disinterested mandarins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of that crew when I was in the Budget Bureau a long
mm-hmm.
time ago, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And increasingly, it seems to me, the founders understood mm-hmm. that the crucial thing about controlling factions was that if they gained control, they couldn't do much.
Right.
You know, that you had all sorts of limitations.
What are, are there bright spots? Are there green shoots? I hate to
yes.
use that phrase, where power has been limited.
That I can't tell you, but I think the greenest shoot is the Tea Parties.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the book is dedicated to citizen activists everywhere, because one of the great supporters of the special interest state is that people are rationally ignorant most of the time. You know, who follows this stuff? You can't understand the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act and all of that, and why should you? And so that leaves this space where the special interests, who are very knowledgeable, can go in and loot and pillage. And it seems to me, as people are increasingly upset about this, they increasingly realize that they need to do something, and they become, you know, ignorance becomes less rational.
So it's kind of like calling a truce of saying, you know, rather than trying to win this kind of race, you know, just saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to, you know, we're just going to stop playing.
Well, you know, that is what a constitution is. And that is, if you look at the, well, one of the best examples is the First Amendment, in that everyone might prefer that his or her own religion became the established religion. But everyone understands that if everyone tries for this, the result is going to be rather unpleasant, as Europe learned in the 17th century. So we all agree we will not establish any religion, and then we all enforce that bargain.
Right.
And that works very well once you have mechanisms of enforcement. We've totally lost that ethos in connection with economic issues.
Well, thank you, Jim DeLong, author of Ending Big Sis, The Special Interest State and Renewing the American Republic, Reason contributing editor, lawyer. Jim DeLong, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.